Hi, everyone. Today's episode is another Value Pack coaching session with my two superstar clients, Alan Lazaros and Kevin Palmieri of the Hyper Conscious Podcast. The three of us discuss how to handle toxic relationships, especially what to do when someone is draining you energetically. Don't forget to join me this Friday and every Friday for free, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, for my free training. You can text me and join my community at 949-298-2905. And if you want to join me or any free guides, exercises, or my book, email me, david@dmeltzer.com. This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook. Here we go. If you thought we had energy before, these two know how to learn. If you want to get coached by me one-on-one, you got to bring it like these two guys. It's unbelievable. Kevin, Alan, the Hyper Conscious Podcast. Watch how these guys get through 15 minutes of love and learn the most they can in a short amount of time. Let's get to it. What do you got for me?
All right. So just the other day, Alan and I were sitting in front of this very TV in the studio, and we were thinking, or we actually said out loud, we cannot wait for the next call with Date. We're learning so much, it's blowing us away. Colleen literally emailed us at that very second with the email for this. From your perspective, I know you say set an intention, pay attention, and coincidence happens. From your perspective, what is that kind of synchronicity? Because the intention's always set, right? But what is that?
So what it is it's an awareness, right? That you are connected to everything, that you actually have that allowance power, that you it's your job, but everything already exists. It's your job to allow it to come to you. And so what I tell people when those things happen, they happen more and more and more, as you can tell. They're happening more and more to you too since I met you, because you have elevated your awareness, your vibration, and your frequency. You now have calling power, allowance power. You now can allow things to happen. And these simple ones, it happens so often, you know, so-and-so, and boom, they're there. And I pay attention to that, right? I pay attention to that and give that my intention, because like a golf swing, if you hit, you know, you're trying to draw the ball in golf, which means it goes from, if you're right-handed, from the right to the left, and you get a little more distance and a lot more roll. While you're practicing that, every once in a while, you get the perfect shot, right? Well, it's obvious we should try to remember what we did in order to get that shot.
Interesting.
Right? Well, when you're able to call and allow like that, you know, order from the universe like a genie, like a magic, you know, I get my wish and it comes right to me. I'm talking rapidly and accurately. Well, that's like drawing the ball in golf. Take a second. Think about how you did that. Think about the subtleties and the differences compared to how you were paying attention and how you were giving intention. Was there something you did different? Was there less interference, which is usually the case? Were you in some place that you two were just in a flow and that's why it came? And I will tell you, because I'm hinting at it, I find that things happen more rapidly and accurately the more I feel like I'm in the flow, the same way I hit good golf shots when I'm in the flow, or big putts when I'm in the flow, or the ball seems this big when I'm playing baseball, or I, you know, just weird things happen. That's the key, though. Wouldn't it be nice that you wish and it comes? And that's what I want for everyone, that rapid and accurate movement in their life.
We've noticed moments like that in the past, but I don't think we ever dissected it quite as much as we should have. And I do know that in that moment, we were laughing. We were in a really good place of gratitude. We were in complete rapport. Yeah. There wasn't a lot of fear in the room. And I've started asking myself this question. So, and I want your take on this, Dave. I believe that one of the indicators that fear is present is a lack of humor, a lack of laughter. What is your take on that? And what are some other indicators that fear is present and suppression is present in your own life?
When you're not closest to truth, right? So let's think about the emotions, the energy emotions that have the highest frequency. Love, right? So if you're feeling love, if you're feeling gratitude, if you're in a state of forgiveness, if you're happy or laughing, right? These are frequencies. These are higher vibrations. It's exactly what I'm talking about that you can have a quantitative analysis of. And so why is it so important to clear the interference of connection between the greatest source of light, love, and lessons that exist? Because the more we clear it, the faster things come. And so why is it so important to stop, drop, and roll, to be a ferocious Buddha, to minimize the time that you're in ego-based consciousness? Because then that means that more of the time you're in the flow. More of the time you're allowing things to happen faster. And you can even start asking bigger than just having Colleen email you to have Dave Meltzer scheduled today, right? I'm talking about big, because you can't out-ask the universe, boys. And when you get into the flow, we want to take advantage of it, right? If I gave you the combination to the vault, don't take $1.50 out, right? Don't ask for an email for Colleen. Let's get, when we're in the flow and feeling good and channeling, let's ask big. I want over 1 billion people to be happy on earth. I want to make over $1 billion so I can help millions of people. I want to think and be creative and expression of the genius that I'm connected to. I want to be that expression so that others can express themselves, liberate them, to liberate others, to enlighten them, to light up my light, to light them and give them permission to light up theirs. Just like the candle story that we talked about, when there's a room of darkness, all it takes, right? I light my candle, and my candle, if it's just held so tight for me, I'm only going to light up my space and my candle's going to burn out. But the minute I start lighting other people's candles, my candle stops burning and we have more and more light. Pretty soon the whole damn room is shining. That's what you want.
Fire. Oh. So my question is about money. You were just talking about money. How do you think about, how do you feel, how do you respond? How do you use money now versus the old David Meltzer before he lost that money?
Yeah, so money is a currency, right? And so I know that it's an object of energy that I put into the flow. So I want to make sure that my relationship to that emotion, that energy and motion, is one in which is aligned with not only my values, personal, experiential, giving, and receiving values, but also that it carries my intention. That energy can carry my intention. And so a lot of times, right, the money is carrying an energy that I don't want. Scarcity, fear, anger, resentment, offense. People are like, what do you mean you carry offense? How many times have you been offended because of a money situation? How many times have you felt guilty? How many times have you felt separate, inferior, superior? How many times have you felt angry about money? Why? Because money is a currency. It's an object of energy that we put into the flow. And we do not want to put that intention, anger, frustration, worry. How much worry, right? What do you think you're getting when you worry about money? Exactly what you're asking for. Mm. But what if we can shift and build that relationship like a muscle, like, and build that relationship to one of faith, that that currency carries the same energy as my faith? That is an object of energy that I put into flow to get exactly what I want. And I can't ask too big about how much money and what it can do for me. And I'm very aware of what I do with my money in order to attract what I want, right? If I shop for the wrong things with, for example, the intention of impressing other people, maybe that I don't even like, or buying things that I don't need because I live in a scarce world and have, you know, either boredom or fear or insecurity. I need to feel superior by driving a Ferrari, right? Or inferior by not buying something nice and not being worthy of something that would take care of me, you know, buying the lesser of it, or not helping somebody else because I'm afraid I won't have enough. And not giving to receive out of some sort of trade or negotiation energy of scarcity that, oh, you know, I have been taught, you know, the more I give, the more I'll get. That's actually a very fearful and damaging thing. But no, shift the paradigm and look over here away from the person that wants from you and needs from you. And look over here and say, I'm going to receive so much. So it can come through me with appreciation, with gratitude, and my values added to it. So not only can I give to this person who's in need, but many others. And in fact, my prayer in the morning will be, may God put at least 10 people in front of me that I can help. And may I receive even more to help even more.
Mm. On fire tonight.
Right.
On fire tonight,
dude. You guys fire me up. I got to just tell. That's why I put the big bangers on Wednesday night and Thursday night. So, you know, when everyone else is slowing down, I'm just getting started because I look at my boys and I'm like, they've been with me for years. I am so proud. This is like Goodwill Hunting. You know, you're not to blame.
I just watched that movie this past weekend for the first time with my girlfriend. That is such a movie that's changed my life. So, Dave, I have a question on the board over there. We got a big whiteboard. We wrote Kevin, Alan, questions. So I wanted to ask you, everything's a relationship. So you have a relationship to your new haircut, which looks great, by the way. You have a relationship to money. You have a relationship to calories. You have a relationship to food. I have a relationship to Kevin. Persons, places, things, and ideas. Everything's a relationship. And there's positive relationships, and then there's negative relationships, toxic relationships. My question for you is, what are the toxic relationships in your life, not necessarily with persons, but with maybe things or ideas that you're proactively working on? And how do you personally identify when a relationship is controlling you and you're not controlling it? In other words, how do you know it's toxic?
Yeah, so there's people in my life that bleed me, right? And I feel responsible for. And they bleed me. They not necessarily economically, they bleed me energetically or emotionally. And out of fear, I either can't understand it, articulate it, or walk away from it, or even pray for its happiness. Instead, I take resentment, offense, attack, or judgment or condition upon it, which just creates more negative energy towards it, right? Tomorrow, I'm doing my training on, you know, how to deal with negative energy. And this is one of the things that is very relative. And I say relative because perception is at the core of relationships. Perception, how do we relate to that thing, right? How is it relative to us? And right, only perception determines that. And within the context of perception, we have to understand the means by which we could unwind the negative perception that you're talking about. Because that's all it is, right? A negative perception that someone's bleeding me, a negative perception that they're taking advantage, manipulating, lying, overselling, cheating me, a negative perception that they're attacking me or have judgments against me. And so I use forgiveness as the means to unwind the untruth. I use forgiveness. And it doesn't mean that I have to surround myself in that relativity more than I should, meaning, you know, I'm going to try my best to surround myself and have a relationship, the perception of and a relativity to those people who feed me so I can feed them. But I will be able to overcome those who bleed me, those who soul suck me, by utilizing forgiveness as a means in which to unwind that untruth. Because in the end, nobody's attacking me. Nobody has judgments or condition placed upon me unless I allow them to do so. If I live my life vulnerable, completely humble, in radical vulnerability and humility, there are no attacks, right? My only true invulnerability becomes the truth of being completely vulnerable, knowing, in other words, that I am connected to everything and everyone. A tree has no branches. One branch would not attract another branch. One branch would not put conditions. These are untruths or illusions that I can unwind by truly understanding forgiveness. And until it can reach the point, think about this. Until you reach the point where you can forgive the unforgivable, you're just practicing. You're progressing towards that perfection of being able to unforgive the unforgivable. And when you can unforgive, or when you can forgive the unforgivable, now you understand the true power of the truth of unwinding forgiveness as a means to unwind the untruth, the illusion that we create because we don't have the capacity, the faith, the knowledge, the awareness to forgive the unforgivable.
What do you do when you forgive? What's the next thing? Do you change your behavior? Or right.
It's a practice, right? So look, what's going to happen consciously, subconsciously, and unconsciously is as you're working through forgiveness of yourself and being able to give that to others, you're going to run across ego again, right? There's going to be some judgment, condition, anger, attack, some interference, corrosion, void, or shortage that's going to be created. And then you're going to have to practice again and say, look, I forgive myself. I am accountable. I've attracted this into my life. What am I supposed to learn from this? Right? Because the pain is going to be there as an indicator that you have that lesson to learn, mental, physical, emotional, spiritual, financial, that pain of attack and judgment condition. And forgiveness itself will allow you to learn the lesson, which will then dissolve the pain. right? The lesson will dissolve the pain.
So you mentioned perception. I have written over there perception versus reality. So that's very synchronistic. I wanted to ask you about a couple things. One of them is perception. So I watched one of your videos on Instagram. It was about the six steps to pitching, the best pitch. Number one is credibility. I think there are times in my life where maybe I don't have credibility, therefore someone's not listening and I don't feel understood. Now, I understand that it's my responsibility to communicate effectively. How do you communicate effectively when you don't have credibility? How do you recognize in real time when that's the case and then go back to context building or credibility building? And then the last part of this question is, when someone, let's say, sees, you know, quote unquote, your net worth or some external, do you notice their perception of you shift and now all of a sudden they're more or less attentive? And what do you do about that, if anything?
Yeah, so remember that credibility holds the vibration or the frequency of the truth. And so although it takes time to understand the perception that others have because they confuse reaction to perception. So I'll give you an example of what I mean. If you and I first meet, what I'm seeing is your reaction to saying thing and saying, right? There is the energy, a frequency of what I'm saying that, just like building an audience, will take repetition because it's not what I think they do to you or believe to you. It will be what you hear. And in order for you to hear or to receive the frequency that I have, it takes repetition. And so why that credibility is so important is because it allows for the longevity and the longevity in the aggregate effect of my communication. So meaning, let's say that we meet and I say something, how many times do you leave a conversation and change your perception of the person because you start evaluating it, putting the energy and value in what they said? In other words, you are doing an analysis of the credibility of what was said and what you felt. And if you felt good and you evaluated at a high credibility, you'll come back for more. And if in that analysis, in that evaluation, the energetic value that you felt is less than what was represented, you'll probably stay away, or you'll be more skeptical the next time that you are encountering or engaging with that person, or you'll be more resistant next time that you encounter or engage that person. So what happens in the human interaction is we only see the action and reaction, but that's not truly the perception. The perception comes upon evaluation, the mixture of energy and value.
Interesting. So let's say I communicate with someone who I'm trying to create a spark of understanding, take my perception, their perception, my perspective, their perspective, and connect. They leave the interaction with either a positive association with me or a negative one. What determines that from your perspective?
So the initial action and reaction is in the content in which you have discussed of what they hear or see or do in the interaction with you. But the true relationship is based upon evaluation, the energy that is valued in the interaction, whether it's think, say, do, or believe interaction. Then I'll give you an example. A lot of people feel this way about, you know, one of my mentors, Gary V. I can't tell you how many people, like, first time I heard Gary V, I hated him. But now they love him, right? Why? Because the first interaction, right, they didn't hear or think or say or do in the interaction, the action that's taking place, there was a resistance or whatever. But afterwards, in the evaluation, the energy and synergistic to the values, there was a resonance because of the high frequency of credibility that Gary does live by illuminating it, right, exactly what he says. So the reaction may be offended or resistant to being yelled at or swearing or whatever else may be in the interaction, but it has nothing to do with the evaluation, the energy that he transmits, the frequency, strength of the signal, and the wide spectrum that it resonates with because of the high frequency that he projects out by what he thinks, says, does, and believes. And it will draw them back to learn more and keep evaluating, where when they come back, they're more open, or you'll come back to the interaction and you'll be less open, more resistance, and it becomes more challenging. Thus, credibility itself is so important, because the more credible you are, the closest that you think, say, do, and speak towards the truth, the higher the frequency, the more statistical success that you'll have in the evaluation process, that will only create more openness and alignment, then interaction resistance the next time.
Wow.
My goodness.
Dave, when's the last time you were in over your head, or you felt like you were going to do something that was going to bring you in over your head? So like we talked to 7-year-old today, and it was like, you know, we are not ready for this because we've never done it. And it was very humbling, but awesome at the same time. And we left that saying like that we were in over our head. And that's the first time in a little bit. What's that like? Like, what level is that for you at this point?
You know, I've been in conversations with Deepak Chopra, Tony Robbins, you know, like some bigger people. But I think circumstantially, you know, speaking about things that I have no context to understand, like you guys are in my wheelhouse, right? This is what I study: physics, quantum physics, metaphysics, the conscious, subconscious, and unconscious, understanding energy and motion, emotion. Well, for me, Black Lives Matter, you know, in the racial tensions that we have, multivariable, experiential, there's no way I could ever understand. So people that are relying on the pragmatic analytical side of me, experiential side of me, situational knowledge, you know, all the different expression of the greatest source of light, love, and lesson that I am. My genius is the expression of what I'm connected to. I have very little true situational knowledge. So as a bystander, you know, to not be able to speak credibly, and, you know, I have only come to the analysis as a white middle-aged man who grew up, you know, poor, around, you know, minorities, and have, you know, minority partners and friends and et cetera. I only have a witness to that. I haven't participated or engaged or actually known or felt what it would like to be like that. I've witnessed it. So all I can say for Black Lives Matter, what I've learned is, you know, in my perception, all lives matter to me, but we need to prioritize Black lives right now. But in the context of, you know, what it feels like emotionally, I can't talk to it. And so I was way over my head. In the same respect, when I talked to Deepak Chopra, right, and his knowledge base is, you know, in the spiritual sense, I felt as if I'm a, you know, middle-aged white male that only can experience what I experience. And I'm not separate from it. I'm not inferior to Deepak, and I'm not separate from my African-American friends or minority friends, right? I just haven't experienced enough to understand and speak credibly about those circumstances the same way that I can about the aligned questions. Why, you know, we are a good match in coaching is that it's not an accident. The name of your podcast is the Hyper Conscious Podcast, right? Because I'm a hyper conscious individual. And the way that you think and the questions you asked, you know, seem to be expressions of genius to other people, and even sometimes maybe to you. But to me, you know, they're big softballs coming at me, and you allow me to flow and channel right in their wheelhouse.
Well, now I'm challenged to ask you about
Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, exactly. Dave, do we have time for a couple more? Is that
one more question? Yeah,
one more question. All right. So, in terms of what you just mentioned about credible communication, Kevin and I have come to realize that the more you spend time with someone, the closer you get to the truth. And our goal is to make it so that our perception, how people perceive us, is our character is equal to or greater than. So the closer you get to us, hopefully the more credible we become, not the opposite, right? And we've seen the opposite in this industry. How do you know? So you mentioned how when you're communicating to someone, it's a frequency. If you don't believe what you're communicating, in other words, let's say I'm talking about fitness, but I haven't gone to the gym in 4 months. From an energetic standpoint, that will be a less credible communication with a lower frequency, correct? Okay. How do I identify where that's happening, or how do you identify when that's happening, and then shift your behavior to make sure you can communicate credibly that which you want to help people with?
Yeah, I look for where I oversell, back end sell, lie, manipulate, cheat myself, because the truth always comes out, right? And it's human nature to do that. And, you know, my intent, albeit good all the time, sometimes I say things and walk away and say, that's not credible. You know what I mean? That's just not, it's not there. It's not what I want to say. And the best thing that I've learned to do is, you know, to be a promise keeper, a way maker, and an illuminator, meaning that I will go back now and I will literally call someone back and say, you know what, this is bugging me. And I said, albeit it may lessen my credibility, but I told you X and it's really X minus three. You know, really not X. I got excited and I said, and I just want to make sure that we're clear that it's, you know, X minus three, not X. And I can appreciate if you don't want to do business with me anymore. And what happens with illumination, you know, people all make mistakes. I always say, tell everybody your biggest mistakes up front, because if they find out your biggest mistakes in the back end, you're going to lose all credibility, right? Like bankruptcy for me. You know, you can imagine the size of deals and the billionaires and the people that I do business with. If I don't illuminate right off the bat, right? And I come off like a lot of the guys that talk to me sometimes, like they're Midas, right? I went to Harvard Business School, got off, had three exits. I've never lost any money. I'm blah, blah, you know. And I hear guys like that all the time. And then they hear my story. Oh, I'm the biggest idiot you've ever met. I had over $100 million and I lost it. I went bankrupt, right? Well, here's the difference. If they decide to do business after I let them know the truth about me, right? What can they say? What can they find out about me? You know what I mean? Where it's like Jordan Belfort, right? He's made movies about going to jail and being a scumbag and doing all this stuff that he's done. And he illuminates it, right? Because anybody, and there's tons of people who do, who love Jordan Belfort, want to do business with him and all of that. What can they say? It's the guy that sits there and tells you he's Midas, and then you Google him and you found out that two of his companies, you know, went bankrupt. Now, right. What are you going to trust, right? What else are you looking for? So don't be afraid to go back. You know, I'm constantly analyzing what I say, making sure that it's as close to the truth as I can. You know that I'm evaluating myself every day, my values, weighting them differently, being a hypocrite. But I think being a way maker, a promise keeper, and illuminator are three key tools to have the highest frequency.
Wow. My goodness.
Yeah, this is my favorite one yet, Dave. Honestly, this is my favorite call yet.
We appreciate you so much, Dave.
You guys are extraordinary. You bring the best out of me. When they talk about elevating others to elevate yourself, that's what you guys mean to me. Thank you for allowing everyone else to share in the expression of genius that we share. So thank you. I'll see you in a couple weeks. You know that I'm on call, so call me anytime. Everybody out there, this training is also free every Friday, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. You can just register, david@dmeltzer.com, 949-298-2905. I got a new TV show, guy, 2-minute drill, pitch competition. I'm putting it on Bloomberg. So anybody want to try out for a TV show and pitch and win prizes, please reach out again to me. Thank you, guys. Be hyper about your consciousness.
Always. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you so much, Dave. We asked the universe for this, and it did not disappoint. Thank you so much.
Love you guys. Take care.
Love you too. Talk soon.
Hey, podcast listeners. Thank you for listening, as always, to today's episode. I know you've been enjoying the Road to Revenue episodes. They are downloading at record paces, and I am so grateful for you joining me, not only on the podcast, but live every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you email me at david@dmeltzer.com or text me at 949-298-2905. Thank you so much.